Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Show. I am Cool Mike, still in for Dr. Jones, who is on vacation. He is, who knows where he is now, but this is my final week. It's been it's been interesting. On last week, I believe Dr. Jones will be back like a week from today. So I'm really glad to have you. Last week was a great week with awesome numbers and awesome guests. Really, really glad you could join me here for today. We're going to start out, I thought I actually had the song programmed in. Getting better with the soundboard, but when you're listening and you just think, oh my God, this is so easy, this is so simple, it isn't that hard, but
like a bloody fool. If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? Or what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? Or what you gonna do when they come for you? You chuck it on that one, you chuck it on this one. You chuck it on your mother and you chuck it on your father. You chuck it on your brother and you chuck it on your sister. You chuck it on that one and you chuck it on me. Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boy, bad boy. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boy, bad boy. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boy, bad boy. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Nobody now giving no break. Balloons now giving no break. That the old soldier man now giving no break. Not even your eyes now giving no break.
Already in the chat room, welcome to our guests and our regular customers as well. Regular listeners, I call customers. Feel free to call in. Your number is 347-884-8500. That's area code 347-884-8500. Or toll free on Dr. Jones's dime. at 877-666-9305. Are we living in a police state? How is it we are now subject to illegal actions that the founding fathers of the United States would never have allowed in government? We have SWAT teams breaking down doors, states now claiming that they are entitled to basically do whatever. And yes, enforced just all kinds of laws that basically this country was founded against. I'm going to play a part where, yes, even the states believe now they can force your children to medication. This is overriding the parents', the parents' rights. Is that democracy? My big question, too, is this, did the Democrats do this? Or are the Republicans involved in this, too? Because you don't see anybody standing up against this, very few, at least. And since when have both sides all agreed on you can forego the parents' rights and opinions for their raise their own child? We are dealing with modern-day elected organized crime. Democrats are one crime family, and the GOP is another, continuing to follow one another both ways with passions. And we continue to follow both parties with the continued passion of our own stupidity. Tonight, we're going to spread more light on the truth. I hope to have a couple people call in, some blog talk radio hosts from other guests to air their, to air their opinions as well. But all this illegal takes in place. How is it your local police department is being funded by grants from the United States federal government to buy SWAT team-like equipment? It's really kind of weird that they can't get it themselves, and the federal government is kind of organizing them, leading the way in doing something along martial law lines. But, you know, we are just, as Americans, we are clueless, stupid, and spineless. We can't even stand up for a new revolution while the new world order kind of moves in. I don't know what really to call it, but it's certainly something we need to take action against. I'm going to play a clip, and this piece, it's you need to listen up, especially for those in our chat room. You need to listen up really good. This is scary. This is a scary clip. What this clip is, it is from a year or so ago when the H1N1 was kind of the big thing. This is kind of a scary clip, so listen up.
One virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worrying that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic. Well, one state, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, is preparing for that with a very controversial bill. Massachusetts proposing legislation that would allow police to forcefully quarantine residents and even impose martial law without a warrant. Could that possibly be constitutional? We've called in Fox News senior judicial analyst Judge Andrew Napolitano.
Hey, Steve.
So, because apparently they're worried that swine flu is a public safety issue, they're talking about a law where the police can knock on your door.
Right.
Or not necessarily knock on your door, just go in and essentially quarantine you.
Well, they're doing more than talking about the law. The state of Massachusetts, both houses of the legislature have enacted this law, and once Governor Deval Patrick signs it, and he says that he will, it'll become the law, and it will allow him to declare an emergency. And once he declares an emergency, he can authorize non-healthcare licensed personnel, read that to mean police,
sure,
to vaccinate people against their will. Now, can they force adults to take vaccination? No. They will incarcerate adults without a trial, without charges, without even a search warrant, who refuse to be vaccinated. This is what the statute authorizes. It also authorizes the statute, the statute also authorizes the police to remove children from adults, vaccinate them against the will of the child and the will of the parents.
This is so troubling on so many different levels. I mean, first of all, you think, wait a minute, they've got a great big list with everybody who got a flu shot. shot's name on it? And are they going to just have neighbors turn in other neighbors? They're sick.
Well,
they got the shot.
It's interesting you say that. There is not a clause in the statute that requires you to report a neighbor, but the government will encourage you to do it. Look, this is the reason why we have federal judges, because federal judges in Massachusetts will have to take this statute and compare it to the Constitution. And the Constitution says the police can't break into your home, and the police can't take your children away from you, and parents decide what medication the children get, not the government.
Man, the first time, if this were to happen, and the first time some cop goes in and gives some kid a shot, it's going to hit the fan.
Yes, it will, and the state of Massachusetts will be sorry it enacted this, because people will revolt against it.
All right, Judge Andrew Napolitano, thank you very much.
Good to be with you, Steve. Happy birthday to Cavuto.
That's exactly right. Happy birthday to you.
Kagan would like to have.
Wow. How about that? Police state. Let's not worry about anything. The police state. Let's not worry about anything. Government is going to take care of you. Government is going to feed your kids. Government will decide what your children learn. Government is going to decide what medical drugs your children take. Government is going to decide what is best for your child. Imagine that. Since when, since when has all this, since when has all this government just taken over, and since when have we allowed it? I mean, we as Americans must get some backbone. I'd like to welcome, I see Minnesota Girl and Tesla in the chat room as well. Of course, everybody loves Tesla there. And Tesla, I tried to get a hold of you yesterday. I missed you on your show, but I didn't want to stalk you, but this is really puzzling, and it's really disturbing. You prepare notes, and you prepare for a show, and when you do it with such passion and compassion, and sometimes I play these clips, and it throws everything right out the window, and it frustrates me. Kind of like when I had prepared for the very first Blog Talk show where we had all the guests when I was co-hosting with Perry Steele. And we had all these guests coming in. We played that clip on Jesse Jackson Jr. talking about that all the Constitution should be rewritten and people should be entitled to homes and iPods and laptops. It just frustrated me. This really frustrates me. Since when are our children the property of the state? Since when are they entitled to basically being able to trump a parent's opinion on anything? And it's just horrible that we don't stand up. I mean, we just need to stand up more and more. Judge Andrew Napolitano, I think, is one of the last of the just really good people standing up for the Constitution. And in my description, it talks about how, in the description of today's show, it talks about all these things. People like to say, this is the Democrats, they did this. Well, we're the Republicans to stand up for liberties. Sunday's Tesla has his show, Socialism is Not an Option. This is pure socialism, and it's not an option. And we as people need to start getting our shit together. We need to really start standing up for what that Constitution stands for. And we know the basic fundamentals. We don't need judges or politicians to interpret it for us. When it says you are endowed by your creator and certain unalienable rights, and I mean there are just some forms that are just so very easy and self-explanatory that I just find it amazing that this can go on and on and on, and we do nothing about it. nothing about it. We need to take action. One of the next clips I'm going to play, again, is by the Judge Andrew Napolitano. He had us a show, and I can't think of the name of the show, but it's on Fox, and he was talking about something that had happened in, this is in Missouri, basically a SWAT team basically bolted down the door of these people's houses. They had they received a search warrant on a tip. The search warrant was issued 8 days. 8 days after the search warrant, excuse me. Sorry, I'm trying to read these notes, and sometimes it's a little more difficult to read it. But 8 days after receiving this search warrant, in comes the SWAT team, breaks down the door, breaks down the door of a house. They found, of course, no drugs. They found a pipe with some, which I believe was some residue. But basically, they found nothing. They shot the dog. They had two dogs, and there's children in the house, too. I mean, it just doesn't mean anything. It just means absolutely nothing. And it's very, very disturbing that something like this really keeps going on often, and we really do nothing about it. But anyway, I'm going to play this piece and give a listen afterwards. Hopefully, Tesler or Minnesota Girl or any of the guests, please feel free to call in. I have zero callers. But anyway, here is what the heck? It didn't even come up. Okay. All righty. Here we go.
On Freedom Watch, we've tracked not just the most obvious, grandiose actions of our ever-expanding government, but also the everyday civil liberties violations that often go unnoticed. The war on drugs is the most common reason for the use of extreme tactics by local police. SWAT raids and even the use of military hardware are regrettably becoming more and more common. But what does it take for a home to become a target of a SWAT raid? Do you really have to be a terrorist cell, a major drug kingpin with several armed guards at your door? Answer no. Sometimes, unfortunately, you can be the target of a SWAT raid even on the mere suspicion of an anonymous informant that you may possess enough drugs to make you a likely dealer. And many innocents have been killed in such raids. In Columbia, Missouri, the police raided a family home 8 days after getting a search warrant against the head of the home. During those 8 days, they might have had the opportunity to observe the home and have learned that there were children inside, there were dogs inside, and there was no evidence of any drugs inside. They only found a little bit of marijuana residue inside a pipe. Instead of doing this, they performed a SWAT-style raid. They shot both family dogs, killing one. They terrified the children and the family, who were put in far greater danger from the raid than they ever were from anything that took place inside that house. Let's take a look at the footage of the SWAT team itself that it shot on the raid.
Okay, boys, start forward. Oh.
America, not East Germany or Nazi Germany, but Middle America. Joining us now is Mayor Bob McDavid and Mike Ferguson. Mike is the host of the Mike Ferguson Show on KSSZ, where they've been following and reporting on the case. The new mayor of Columbia, Missouri, Bob McDavid, who came to office after the raid, is now left trying to salvage the reputation of the police who did this. But can that be done as long as drug raids remain common? Joining me now is the man in charge of the local administration, Mayor Bob McDavid. Mayor, welcome to Freedom Watch.
Good afternoon.
When are the cops who did this going to be arrested and put in jail where they belong?
Well, we are right now, we've started a process to look at all the facts. You know all the facts basically that I do. A lot of the facts are in that video, which that video is certainly very disturbing. The process is going to go like this. First of all, let me say this, that the chief of police told me this morning, and will announce at a press conference this afternoon, four initiatives. The first is the threshold for using a SWAT team in Columbia, Missouri, will be raised dramatically.
Right.
We can't be using this type of police action for nonviolent crime. That's obvious. The second initiative is that the intelligence needs to be actionable. We can't be obtaining a search warrant, waiting 8 days, and then throwing a SWAT team in on this information. That information is old. It's not useful. The new initiative, I'm told by the police chief, will involve action within 8 hours of the issuance of the warrant. The intelligence absolutely has to be accurate. The third initiative is that the responsibility will move well up the chain of command in the police department.
Right.
This can't be relegated to mid-level police officers. This needs to be a decision made at the top. And the fourth initiative that will be announced by the chief of police today is that this raid will be evaluated by our new Citizens Police Review Board. And the new Citizens Police Review Board will evaluate our policies and make changes, make recommendations for change in our policies.
Mike Ferguson.
This is a progressive.
Understood, Mayor.
This is a progressive color sound, and we don't want this to happen again.
Understood. Mike Ferguson, what's the uproar amongst the public there?
Well, the uproar is right now coming not just from the video, which, as the mayor just said, is very difficult to watch. There's the emotional reaction, not to just hearing the dog get shot, but also the fact that there was a child in the house. But the uproar is coming in the fact that the warrant was served 8 days after. And then there's a secondary wave of people being upset because the fact of the matter is this was all over marijuana when no marijuana was found. So it was really a SWAT use on a non-violent situation. And the end result is that he pled guilty to a misdemeanor charge of having a pot pipe with some residue on it. So, the reaction has been, overwhelming by certain parts of the community over not just the display of force, but why it was used. And that's been the precursor to, the policy changes that the mayor just discussed, which has come really off of a lot of public pressure that's being responded to.
Mayor, I want to underscore again that you were not the mayor when this happened, but you are saddled with this problem. Shouldn't federal prosecutors look into the blatant violation of constitutional liberties by these cops? You don't serve a warrant 8 days later. There are less intrusive ways to find out what's going on in the house. There's no reason to kill the dog. There's no reason to use deadly force. There's no reason to terrify children, a terror that can live in their memories for the rest of their lives. What these cops did was far more reprehensible than the wildest things that could have happened inside that house on the basis of the information supplied to the judge who issued the search warrant.
Well, I'm not in a position to defend the actions. I am waiting for the report. This whole incident is going to be evaluated. All the facts will be presented, and we'll deal with it as we need to. I would parenthetically say that I think you're raising an important issue. There are 100 of these SWAT actions a day in this country, and ours stands out largely because we videotaped it and presented it publicly. It was actually presented through a Freedom of Information Act. I think the point that needs to be made is, what is the threshold at which this police tactic can be used? It needs to be reserved for high-risk, dangerous situations, and it needs to be taken out of that venue when we're dealing with nonviolent crime.
Right. Mike, the general principle of law is that you don't issue a search warrant on the basis of the words of an informant only. There has to be other testimony to substantiate what an informant tells you, because informants typically have ulterior motives for informing on the people on whom they inform. And the other general principle is you can't use deadly force unless there's reason to believe that deadly force is going to come back at you. Neither of those was followed in this case. Is there any pressure from any source to have federal authorities lock these cops up who did this?
Not here locally. We are hearing a citizen, you know, uprising, calling for that. But at this point, I haven't heard that addressed. We haven't heard any federal pressure on that in the least bit. But you're absolutely right. Is that you know, there, as far as we are being told right now, is that this was based on the testimony or the statement of an informant in mid to late January before the warrant was issued on February 11th. As far as we know, there was no reason to believe that there were guns in the house. The only thing that we were told is a SWAT commander that I interviewed when covering the story told me that anytime drugs are involved, they tend to use a SWAT because of what they call a history of guns being around around drugs.
Big picture. This is the middle of Missouri, the middle of the country. This is quintessentially a middle America. Why is it even in a place like this, the police are becoming militarized in the manner in which they enforce local, ordinary criminal
law? Listen to
law.
This answer.
Well, I think that question could probably apply to all sorts of cities, and that is follow the money, is that there's a federal financial incentive to add paramilitary-style equipment and federal funding of these kind of raids. Right now we're being told, hey, the laws say they're illegal, we have to execute the warrants, but the fact of the matter is that Columbia, as the mayor said, is a very progressive town when it comes to social liberties, social personal liberties. And recently the city voted to more or less decriminalize small amounts of pot. You basically get the equivalent of a traffic ticket for having small amounts of pot.
These cops acted as if they were arresting Osama bin Laden. Mike Ferguson, Mayor Bob McDavid, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Judge.
Well, wow. Thanks for sticking with me. I know that piece is rather long, but wow. Is that just not rather disturbing or what? Unbelievable. Gestapo-like tactics. I mean, this is just absolutely insane. Not of what was done, because we know these are the kind of things that happen when we are complacent as Americans. But it happens and we do nothing. Before I go into the break, just a reminder. When we ask taxpayers for the money or some money, that's our money. This country belongs to us. The Constitution, government is derived from the people. I asked the Lieutenant Governor here in the state of Michigan, in the Constitution, it basically says government is derived from the people. I asked him, are the people derived from government? Which is basically the exact opposite. He says, well, I don't know what that means. This is what we are dealing with, my friends. And when we, when we as taxpayers allow these type of things to happen, when we just don't do anything about it, this is when it continues to take advantage of, or this continues for people like us to be taken advantage of, to whereas they can break down your door. They can pull you over and just harass you. They can do so many things that our founding fathers were against. And going back again to Tesla's show, socialism is not an option. What is your opinion about that? Is socialism an option? I mean, because it really seems like some people are basically saying, yeah, I guess it is an option. Because, you know, you have to defend the Constitution, where in New Hampshire they say live free or die. We have got to defend the Constitution. We have got to be strong believers in the Constitution. We in no way, shape, or form can continue to be complacent, because these are the things what happen when we do become complacent. And when we become astronomically complacent, astronomical lazy, and we don't stand up for these constitutional rights, which many people have defended and died for, have paid the ultimate sacrifice. When we don't, we are almost saying that their death was in shame. We must believe in the, you know, the founding fathers were very smart people, contrary to what many other people think. They were racist, and you can add whatever you want onto there, but they were very smart. And they were very great Americans. And when we hear the tape that I just played where police are busting down your door 8 days after a warrant, they got nothing. They killed the family dog. They scared the hell out of the kids. There was nothing, not even a marijuana charge. That should be a concern of ours. And for those who really, really don't really don't understand what I'm talking about, study some history on what it's like in other countries where the Constitution is basically written by the communists or what have you. It's really, really scary to know that these type of things are happening daily, financed by we the people, laws being broken by the Constitution, which is set to defend we the people, yet we the people do nothing, do absolutely nothing. In Wisconsin, you see that battle going on there. That's about the union and their rights. And here in Michigan, you see things going on very similar. But what is more important? Isn't it the Constitution? We're going to go into a break. We'll be back.
Wash my hands in the rain. Give my time. Thank you.
I think we have a great discussion going on in the chat room as far as what to do and this and that. You know, I think we need to start at the bottom. We're not the people at the top are too powerful right now, and we're not going to be voting them out. They're going to, for the majority, these people are going to continue to get reelected. We need to change the local levels and groom that to grow up. And the, you know, the bottom line is that if we are going to make these changes, if we want to make these changes and we want to make a difference, an awful lot of things have to change and an awful lot of things have to happen. But the bottom line is that they're not going to happen without we the people. And we must continue to get our friends and neighbors, our moms and dads, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, organized to vote in large numbers for the right people. We cannot continue to head in this direction. I mean, there's only so much long, so much long we can actually take this, you know. And we have to be Southern Region. Welcome into the chat room. We have to be steadfast. We have to be resilient, because what's happened is government's become so damn big. It's become so large that in every aspect of government, it's just ballooned with corruption. Everywhere and anywhere you look, we were warned of this. Now you're saying, oh, we were? There's an old saying, those who forget history, they're destined to repeat it. Well, let's listen to some history. Anyone want to join the discussion, feel free to call in. The numbers are right at the top. We're going to listen to a wise old man.
I get tired of saying that defense is to be made an excuse for wasting dollars. I don't think we should pay 1 cent for defense more than we have to.
I seriously question an increase in the Pentagon budget in the face of the department's recent Inspector General's report. How can we seriously consider a $50 billion increase in the defense budget when DOD's own auditors say the department cannot account for $2.3 trillion in transactions in 1 year alone?
It is, I was going to say terrifying. It is such a monumental task. I have met with two former officials of the Pentagon who served in the budget and controller in those areas. And I've mused over the fact that I've read some of these things and asked what they thought.
We process nearly 10 million paychecks a month. 10 million times to get things screwed up. I've had my pay screwed up 6 times since I've been in the department, and it's really bad when you screw up your boss's pay.
I doubt, to be honest, that people inside the department are going to be capable of sorting this out.
Well, no
I have
kidding.
A feeling it's going to take some folks from outside to come in.
Why don't we get rid of those
look
people,
at this and put in place a process that over a period, and I regret to say, but I've seen how long things take. I think it's going to take a period of years to sort it out. I think it'll probably take the cooperation of the Congress to try to get the system so that you can actually manage the financial aspects of that institution rather than simply report on things that have happened imperfectly.
There's more oversight over the Head Start program than there is over the entire military budget.
It's a terrible record, and it's preposterous that the Defense Department doesn't know what's happened to this money.
This situation.
nation's a disgrace. It tells me that we can't meet our constitutional obligations to the taxpayers of our country to make sure that things are honestly and legally spent.
We're told major cuts in education programs, and then we read, well, you know, $500 million is paid per year. It isn't owed.
It is an incredible thing that we arm the world and then turn around and come to Congress and say, look at all these weapons out there. They're almost superior to ours. They're comparable to ours. Well, of course they are. They're ours. We sold them to them.
Since the end of the Cold War, we've sold more military weapons than the rest of the world combined.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
My name is Jack Shanahan, Vice Admiral, U.S. Navy, retired. One of our nuclear bombs blows up Hiroshima 15 times over. 5 devastates Russia. After that, this is how many the U.S. has left. I feel safe using nuclear weapons. Do you?
Well. Wow. In that final piece, basically, a bunch of pictures of nuclear weapons were appearing behind this man. Well, basically, he's just saying we have hundreds and hundreds of nuclear weapons that could destroy the world over many, many times. I think that's what the point of that was. Welcome, everyone. We have Gunslinger. We have Billy still going at it in there in the southern region, Minnesota girl. Anyone want to feel free to wager in, call in, give your opinion. Getting back, just a quick program note before I jump back into the topic. Tomorrow, some of you have heard of the flat tax. Well, tomorrow we have an individual. His name is John Crawford, and he is with the Michigan Fair Tax. Not the flat tax, the fair tax. And that is in all 50 states have their version of the flat of the fair tax. And this guy is in charge of the Michigan region. He's going to be talking about exactly what the fair tax initiative means, the positives and the negatives of it, how it right now is sitting in many legislatures. And, you know, they're waiting for it to get approved. Basically, waiting for the legislators to approve this, so they can, so these legislators can pass it. And what you need to do is, what we want to do is in our state, this, if this is passed, it really makes your state a very good business state. So we're going to talk more on that tomorrow, but, basically it's going to be a great show. He's going to be with us. And then we're going to go on to talk about what happened this morning with the audit, which $9 trillion are missing from the Federal Reserve. So tomorrow's show is We've Got Money to Burn. 111, you are on the show. Welcome.
Would that be me?
That would be you, my friend.
Yeah, this is Gunslinger 1964 in the chat room.
How you been?
I believe you were talking about, oh, pretty good. Believe
yeah,
you were talking about
Cougar.
The police state.
This is Cougar 11. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, about the police state, right?
Yeah, go ahead. Lay right in.
Yeah, well, see, the problem that this has grown into, I'm sure, I don't know what your age is, but I'm 48, but I can remember back when the police cars had to serve and protect on them. Try to go out there and find one now that says that, okay, number one. They do not serve, nor do they protect. They protect the structure, their corporate structure, because police is policy enforcers. They had nothing to do with the law itself. They could care less what law is enforced or is not enforced. And to prove that, look how you see it every day. You go up on the highway, and you'll see these jackbooted thugs, which I like to call them, that's exactly what they are, military jackbooted thugs, chasing people up and down for what? Taxing crimes. 5 miles over the speed limit. That's a taxing crime. Who does it benefit? Well, it benefits their city, whatever city that they're working for, or county or whatever. So there's one of your problems right there, is they're chasing the money instead of chasing criminals, which don't want to, because if they did chase the criminals, it put them out of business. What do you think about that?
Well, I think everything you just said has been a trend for quite a while, and I think you're right. Gunslinger, for me, I've never even thought about that as far as to protect and serve or I don't know when they took it off, but I do watch some of the older shows, probably long before your time too, Adam 12 and some of the other ones that are on TV, where they say that on the side of the police car.
Exactly, yeah. I used to watch Adam 12 myself, yeah. That's one of my favorite shows.
Sorry about that. Let me throw this question to you. If you were the czar, because we love to use that term now, and they said, solve this, we need to solve this problem. We need to take this back. Where would you even begin? How would you even start?
Well, that's a $64 question right there.
Well,
it seems like
we've lost it. We've just lost it.
Well, we've lost the whole thing, absolutely. One thing that would have to be done is you're going to have to stop militarizing the police department. The police and the military has no business in bed together. There's one of your major problems right there. I know from experience because I was in law enforcement for 3 years. I was a rent-a-cop, a security officer. Still wore a uniform, still carried a badge, still drove a patrol car, and still carried a .357 Magnum hand cannon. I thought I was Billy Badass. Of course, I was younger then, 18, 19 years old. But see, this is another problem that when these cities, counties, whatever, states, whatever, when they hire these jackbooted thugs, they hire them fresh out of the military. What does the military teach you? Teach you to kill, okay? That's their goal. That's what anybody joins the military for, basically. Go over there and fight wars, okay? But when these people get out, and I know a lot of people that served in the military, know a couple that served in Vietnam, they came back screwed up. I know one police officer that I used to be a police explorer, okay? He was over in Nam. He came back screwed up. And this guy's a cop? I wouldn't trust this guy as far as I can throw him, and that's about an inch, okay, with a badge and gun on. But see, you have these people that's got these uniforms on and got these badges on, and their head has exploded, you know, bigger than the Empire State Building. And when the cities or the county or whatever department that they work for, when they jump, they say, how high? Yes, sir. You want me to go harass this little old lady? Sure, no problem. You want me to go over here and shoot this SOB? Sure, no problem. Aye, sir. Okay? There's your problem right there. And that you allow people like that to become civilian police officers, especially with military training, and I'm not downing the military or anything like that, this is the problem that you have, because now they have brought military training into the civil sector. That's a no-no. You can't have that. I mean, there was one report out of California a few months back that, not to go into a long story, but this guy was at his sister's house, and he was watering her lawn with a water hose, okay, a sprayer, a garden hose sprayer. Well, some neighbor called the jackbooted SWAT team. They come out there, didn't say a damn word, and gunned him down in cold blood because he turned around with a water sprayer and pointed it at him. Woo, big man there, let me tell you. See, this is the problem we have in this country, and that's exactly what I said. Until we rein in these jackbooted thugs and take away some of their authority. Now, sure, you've got to have some type of law enforcement in a civilized society, or we'd be back in the damn caveman days, you know. But when you give them that kind of authority and just loose, well, you see what I mean. You've seen it yourself. You've seen three or four cop cars stop a little inside the road. And we're paying these arrests? No knock warrants. There's another one. All kinds of this stuff. You know, when they say jump, they expect you to say, how high? Yes, sir, master. Don't beat me, master. I'll do anything you say. That's got to stop. And until that stops, it's going to get worse, people. It's going to get a whole hell of a lot worse. Guaranteed. What do you think about that?
When you were in law enforcement, if I'm not mistaken, you and I kind of got to know each other. I think it was with the T.J. Thompson Show or CB Media Network, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you the one? Are you the person who had back surgery?
No.
Oh, okay. One of the regulars in there went away for a while. They said he had back surgery. I just kind of lost touch, and I don't remember his screen name. But anyway, I think the bottom line, Gunslinger, why the hell are we so spineless? You know, the money by taxpayers, the money government uses is our money. This country is our money. It's not the government's buildings. It's our buildings. We are the supervisors. They are the employees. What the hell is going on? I mean, they have the guns. The bottom line is that I think both parties have done such a great job of working together. You know, you have one is the Gambino family and the other is the Sopranos. And they basically are the same size as a two-headed coin. They basically are working together. And I'll tell you, it's just a really sad situation. That
I'll tell you why this has become like this. Okay, it's very simple. Number one is that people are indoctrinated by the boob tube, the TV, the controlled media. Whatever that TV says, they think it's the gospel. Okay? And then you have our TV shows like Cops. I'm sure you've seen that show on TV.
I played the intro to Cops.
Yeah. See, they have to make themselves look good, because if they really knew, if people really knew that all they was out is for money. Okay, how do you make money in today's society when you're in their situation? You create crime. Crime is business, and it's big business. I'll give you a classic example. I live here in Dallas, Texas, okay? We have a jail here in the Dallas County Jail. You can go Google. It's called the Luce Justice Center. This place is huge. At any given time, day or night, any day of the week, time of the month, time of the year, it doesn't matter. And they just added on to this place like a year and a half ago, okay? This jail holds 10,000 inmates, and this is just a county jail. Yes, I said county jail. 10,000 inmates. And what are these people are in there for? Penniless crimes. I mean, you know, marijuana possession, you know, just small stuff, you know, small scale stuff. Yeah, and there's murderers and rapers and all that good stuff in there. Yeah, obviously. You're not going to have a perfect society. You never will. It never was. And it never will be, for that matter. But, yeah, 10,000 inmates. Okay? That's just in Dallas County alone. Okay? And that's not counting all the other jails throughout the United States. When you can arrest people and make these money crimes, and that's all they are, is money crimes, and you can arrest them. Oh, I can stop you. I can write you a ticket. Oh, I can even arrest you. And guess what? My city makes money on it. You know, they make money on every inmate that's in the jail system or the prison system in this country. They make money on it. So why not? Why not be in it? That's an incentive to go out there and harass people and see if, let's see what we can bust this guy for. You know, and they will, and I repeat this, they will trump up false allegations. The police will give you false legal advice, okay, so they can get you. Why? Because they're money on you. tried not paying a traffic ticket and see what happens. Follow my logic there?
Oh, I think we all know what happens. I think we all know that. I mean, that is just horrible. And as you said, it's big business. It's not only big business. It's basically become so necessity to fund an awful lot of their programs. I wonder how much of this is money that is never seen, too. And when I say never seen, I wonder how much of it is just goes to maybe fund a lot of the programs we are not aware are taking place.
Oh, quite a bit. I'm sure way over 60, maybe even 70%, I would say, conservatively. Okay? Because they steal this drug money, which they create. Okay? Remember, they create this. I think it's the CIA was already busted or something for running weapons into Mexico to supplying the drug cartel into Mexico. Okay? They got caught with their hands in the cookie jar on that one. Back into reference of Vietnam, all that was just a drug running war. That's all it was, okay? Because I had an ex-brother-in-law that did three tours over there. He guarded about four or five C-130s, okay? You know, the big old cargo airplanes, okay? And he seen these crates being loaded on heading for the United States, and he asked his commanding officer right there, he said, "What's in these crates?" He said, "What airplane? Do you see any airplanes?" "Oh, no." Okay, so there's your proof. How much more freaking proof do you want? Okay, these people are not out there to be your friends, and they sure the hell ain't out there to protect you. Because right now, if you try to protect your property, you'll probably get in more trouble if you shoot that son of a bitch that's trying to rape, rob, or kill you. Okay, got to go fight it out in court. I mean, is that the way it's to be? I don't think so. Give me a break there, you know.
No.
And that's another reason that the Washington D.C. and the Congress and all these are trying to get the guns away from the people. An armed society is a polite society. Take Arizona for example. Okay, those cops out there, most of them are just sitting around twiddling their thumb because they don't really have a whole lot to do. Yes, there's crime out there just like any place else, but Arizona has the open carry law. That means that you can openly carry a weapon anywhere. Maybe not in a bank or a federal building or something like that. But other than that, well, you think you're going to think about this. If you were a scumbag robber or raper or whatever, and you see this person, and you come up to this person, and he turns on you, and you see a 357 Magnum hand cannon strapped on his side, to rob that person? I don't think so. I mean, you wouldn't be a very smart criminal if you did. So,
are you,
you know,
gunslinger, are you familiar with the Darwin Award?
I've heard of them, yes.
The Darwin
really
Awards are awarded to people who do really stupid crimes. Apparently,
stupid criminals, yeah.
Yeah, apparently some individual... and I believe this may even be in your state. I think it was Texas. You'd have to look it up online, wherever it is. Went into a gun store, went to rob the gun store. Now, I tend to think people in gun stores know how to use guns. So that would probably not be a smart place to actually go into. And it kind of proves your point here, too, that... Well, anyway, he never made it out alive, but it proves your point. I think that's, you know, this is why I like having callers, and I almost like to give the microphone over because you've already made three very good points. That number one is an armed society means what? I mean, that solves the problem right there. I mean, and that's really a really great point. We're going to take another caller. Area code 215, John, I think that's you. Is that you?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, John, you're on
with
myself and Gunslinger.
Okay, well, I think under the Patriot Act, the FBI has, like, the power to, like, issue a subpoena without a federal judge. Like, they don't need, like, the authorization of a judge. They can go in as like a law enforcement agency and like issue a warrant if they have like somebody as a suspect, and that power was given to them basically like it was given to them under the Patriot Act. So under the Patriot Act, agencies like the CIA and the FBI can, you know, kind of issue warrants on their own accord. And
yeah, Patriot Act, Gunslinger,
yeah.
Just call in again. Well, I don't think it's any secret. Anybody listening knows my opinion of the Patriot Act. I think you know that as well, my opinion of the Patriot Act. But, you know, John, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure Gunslinger lost audio and to make sure it wasn't on my end. But I think, number one, if we're going to take our streets back, I don't know how long you've been listening, John, but the title of the show obviously is Police State Part 2. I know you participated in Police State Part 1, which took place when I was co-hosting with Perry Steele. And the problem is when we allow these laws to pass, which means we give up these rights, we're giving up our civil liberties, our constitutional amendments to the very same people that the Founding Fathers basically didn't want us around. When we give these rights up, these are exactly the things that start taking place. Gunslinger's back with us. But the bottom line is that what we have to do, I believe, is number one. And Gunslinger, I don't know if you know this, but I know John knows this. Number one, I will not vote for any person, politician, period. I will not support them. I will air my views that supports the Patriot Act. Because number one, any individual, and I don't care if you're a citizen of this country, you are an idiot if you believe in giving up your civil liberties and constitutional rights to government for freedom, because you lose them both. And I think 9/11 happened exactly as planned. Because instead of moving after 9/11 towards personal responsibility and Second Amendment, we turned it all over to the federal government. The airports, look at the mess we have. The list is endless. I could take 4 hours of the show to complain about this. John, why don't you follow up? And as soon as you're done, chat on the Gunslinger.
Also, to add to that, if you are arrested, say, at an international airport as an American citizen, and whatever law enforcement agency is there and they designate you as an enemy combatant, you can be detained indefinitely without any type of legal counsel, and they can move you wherever they want to move you, and you cannot see the evidence against you. So, and when they try you, they will try you basically under the laws of the military, meaning that They don't have to have the same burden of proof as they would if you were tried, say, in a civilian court. So this is the power that the government has. If they see someone in an airport and they suspect and your name is on a terror watch list, or they suspect you have ties to terrorists, they can detain you at that moment in time, and if you're designated as an enemy combatant, you will be detained indefinitely without an attorney. So I don't know whether American citizens realize this when they travel on any kind of international flight, that this can happen to you. And in fact, they had a film come out like a couple of years ago, and it was dealing with the whole process of someone who was going through like a rendition, where this person was from the Middle East, but they were an academic at some university here in America, but they were suspected of terrorism, and they were nabbed at an airport by, like, some type of federal authorities, and they were put through a rendition in a Middle Eastern country in which they were tortured until they told the information that the authorities were trying to get out of them. and they didn't have a right to counsel or anything. So, you know, but I mean, like, this process is very real. So, and this is why the prison in Cuba is not going to be closed, because they have suspected terrorists there, and they're going to put them basically to a tribunal, and they're going to try them according to military law, because they don't want to bring them, because there was a debate whether to bring the chief terrorist into a civilian courtroom, but they don't want to go through a process of discovery in which the public would see what the government's been doing, how they have actually been torturing these people beyond what you hear about any type of waterboarding. They're doing more than that, and they get the information out of these people, because we are in a war against terror. So, you know, they don't want the public to see what's actually going on. That's the reason why that prison in Cuba is going to stay open indefinitely.
Okay, Gunslinger?
Well, yeah, he's absolutely correct. Remember, the whole court system is what I like to refer to as a kangaroo court system. Because remember, they're only in there to make money. You know, money talks, BS walks. That's plain and simple. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it is right now. That's probably the way it forever will be, unless something majorly changes. Okay? Now, when they can try you in military tribunals, stuff like that, military police state, okay? Sorry, fellas. You are a little surrendered to the military. Because, see, that's what they want. How do you country? You try to control it with the civil authority, but because your head gets so big psychologically, you try to merge the police and the military. I mean, look, why do you think they call them jackbooted thugs? Look how they're dressed. Jack boots, okay? That was back in Nazi Germany, remember, back in World War II, okay? So they know what they're doing, and they know how to use it as psychological warfare, and that's exactly what they're doing on the American people right now. Look around anywhere. I don't care what city, town, county, I don't care, state, whatever you're in. They're out there to try to take your rights away, especially to the right to keep and bear arms, okay? Because if they can successfully do that, how would you take over a country like all the other countries in this world had been taken over at some point in time? You take away the guns, because the guns is the only means of defense against a tyrannical government. Hell, it even says in the Constitution you have a right to throw off a tyrannical government at any means possible. Now, what does that mean? Well, I mean, I'm sure that you would try to reason with them using reason, logic, and common sense, and I think we've been trying to do that for the past 50 or 60 years now. Have they listened? No. Has anything changed? No. Got a new Congress in. Sounds like to me it's the same damned old Congress that's been in there all along. Okay, just a different date. Now, remember back in 1776, and I'd like to bring this date up because it's a very important date. When the Founding Fathers came over here to set this country up, why did they come over here? They came over to this land here to get away from the king in England over there. Because the king was doing the exact same thing that this government is doing today. It's just a different date. I mean, the date's the only thing that's changed. It's the same type of suppressing the people, taxing them to death, trying to rule over them with an iron boot. Okay, so they got away from that. They came over here and said, hey, we don't want your crap. We're leaving. See you later. We out of here. Now, what did they do? The English come over here like lovesick little puppy dogs, followed them over here. And the Founding Fathers at the time said, oh, boy, we got away from these idiots. Now what are we going to do? I'm sure I wasn't there then, but I'm tried to reason with them. I'm sure they tried to use common sense, logic, you know, the whole nine yards. Leave us the hell alone. We don't want your crap. What did they do? They continued until finally the Founding Fathers of this country had to put their foot down. They draw the line in the sand. Now, we've tried to reason with you. We've tried to do things nicely. We've asked you to leave us alone. you refuse, now you're going to get what comes out of the end of the gun. We tried everything else, and I'm sure they did. I'm sure that they just didn't go right into a shooting war, obviously. But you see, history, just like you said a while ago, history is going to repeat itself one day. Here, it's going to be the same thing, only it's going to be 10 times worse.
Okay.
Because back then, all they had was musket loaders. Okay. Here we got automatic weapons and all this kind of good stuff. It's just like a volcano that's been sitting, you know, just sitting there for millions of years, but the pressure is building. Mount St. Helens is one of them. Remember what happened to that? It was sitting there, didn't do hardly anything for millions of years, but all of a sudden, boom, the top blew off. That's exactly what's going to happen in this country. I don't know when. I have no idea. I don't like bullets flying at me. You know, who does? Okay. But it cannot continue like it's been continuing. Look at your gas prices. Right here in Dallas, Texas, I'm 20 miles south of Dallas, and gallon right now, regular gasoline is 79 cents. Totally unheard of. I mean, that's crazy. That's ludicrous. Why?
Gunslinger, can you repeat that price?
$3.79 per gallon for regular unleaded.
Wow.
Just went to the store yesterday.
Hang on. Area code 804. Hello, sir. Hello. Or madam or friend.
Hi, good evening. How are you tonight?
Good. You're with Mike. You're with Gunslinger. You're with John. Who do we have on this end?
My name is Hugh, the Heartbeat of America. I'm calling from Virginia.
Well, welcome, my friend. Do you want to weigh in on the conversation?
Well, I just came across your show, and I wanted to see what kind of research you do, because I have a whole lot that I'm trying to get out to the masses that's documentable.
Okay, well, such as? Go ahead and
Number one, a letter President Obama sent to me related to the economy, which can be viewed on a blog, and I responded to the letter, which was dated July 7, 2009, and told him that I have a strategy that is of absolutely no risk. It's actually a strategic intelligent enhancement that will allow businesses at will to expand and diversify to an unlimited degree in any field and create jobs and opportunities at the same time. It's totally transparent, highly ethical and moral, and it will force companies to be responsible for their employees, customers, the environment, and the community. The same strategies for business can empower individuals and communities, too. I had absolutely no response despite repeated follow-ups.
surprise on that. I'm going to play a piece. Just hang on the line, everybody. I'm gonna play a piece. That's a perfect example of just how it doesn't matter who it is. You know, Gunslinger, we're getting with the subject. You know, you used to ask a police officer, what is your badge number? Now they tell you to F.O. But let me play this piece. This is and this falls in line perfect with what Hugh had just commented. Here's from the President of the United States. Now, I think we all agree here. MSNBC is not the most conservative news show. Listen to this. This is unbelievable. No, it is believable. I don't know why it's unbelievable. Everything should be believable now. Listen to this piece, and then we'll come back and we'll let everybody comment on this.
Begin tonight with a tale of two speeches, both from the same man, both from President Obama. One speech that could have been billed as a ballad to the Constitution, a proclamation of American values, a repudiation of the lawless behavior of the last presidential administration, and another speech announcing a radical new claim of presidential power that is not afforded by the Constitution and that has never been attempted in American history, even by George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Remarkably, President Obama is simultaneous. Standing inside the National Archives in front of the actual original Constitution, President Obama delivered a blistering critique of the Bush administration, which he called their actions and their legacy literally a mess.
measures. When we plan a haphazard approach, too often missiles are decisions based on foresight. The decisions that were made over the last 8 years established an ad hoc legal approach for fighting terror. It was neither effective nor sustainable.
An ad hoc legal approach for fighting terrorism that was neither effective nor sustainable. Ouch. Then, moments later, he announced his own ad hoc legal approach for fighting terrorism. President Obama today proposed something new, something called prolonged detention. Doesn't sound that bad, right? Prolonged detention. Did you ever see the movie Minority Report? It was based on a Philip K. Dick short story. It came out in 2002. It starred Tom Cruise, remember? He played a police officer in something called the Department of Pre-Crime. Pre-crime is where people are arrested and incarcerated to prevent crimes that they have not yet committed. Mr. Mark.
My mandate in the District of Columbia Pre-Crime Division. I'm placing you under arrest for the future murder of Sarah Marks. Now, I'll do those take place today, April 22nd, 0800 hours, 4 minutes.
Oh, I didn't do anything. You didn't do anything, but you're gonna. Future murder. Creepy, right? Putting somebody in jail, not for what they've done, but for what you're very sure they're going to do?
There may be a number of people who cannot be prosecuted for past crimes. In some cases, because evidence may be tainted. But who nonetheless pose a threat to the security of the United States.
We're not prosecuting them for past crimes. But we need to keep them in prison because of our expectation of their future crimes.
Al-Qaeda terrorists and their affiliates are at war with the United States, and those that we capture, like other prisoners of war, must be prevented from attacking us again.
Preventive. Incarcerate people preventively. Preventive incarceration. Indefinite detention without trial. That's what this is. That's what President Obama proposed today, if you strip away the euphemisms. One civil liberties advocate told the New York Times today, quote, "We've known this was on the horizon for many years, but we were able to hold it off with George Bush. The idea that we might find ourselves fighting with the Obama administration over these powers is really stunning." And it is stunning, particularly to hear President Obama claim the power to keep people in prison indefinitely. Just imprisonment. It's particularly stunning to hear him make that claim in the middle of a speech that was all about the rule of law.
But we must do so with an abiding confidence in the rule of law. Our government was defending positions that undermine the rule of law to ensure that they are in line with the rule of law.
How can a president speak the kind of poetry that President Obama does about the rule of law and call for the power to indefinitely, preventively imprison people because they might commit crimes in the future?
Well, well, well. John, do you want to lead off that topic? Then we'll let Hugh and then Gunslinger come on.
Well, concept of pre-crime came from a science fiction writer, and it was a movie that came out about the same book. I believe the name of it was something like a Minority Report. And it
yeah,
was
that
about
was with
this
Tom
concept
Cruise.
Of, well, I mean, like that was initially a science fiction novel, but it was about this concept of that the police department could predict when someone was going to commit a crime. And this is what is happening today is basically along the East Coast, they've developed these cameras in terms of like surveillance cameras, and they copied the CCTV system over in London, in which they put cameras on all of the corners in the downtown area. They did this in Baltimore, and they did it in high crime areas where the police can watch like a lot of the corners, and this system is in place in Baltimore as we speak. And basically also the military has great, they're capable of detecting a face and a license plate from the satellite photography similar to what the military has is when people go to Google Maps, the whole thing with Google Maps was based around what the military technology actually is. And the military technology is more advanced than Google Maps. Like with Google Maps, you can see the satellite photographs and you can see the street view if you enter an address. With the military technology, they can see a license plate and they can see someone's face just from typing in a location. So this era of complete kind of surveillance is already here.
Yep. Hugh, did you want to comment on that at area code 804?
Yes, and I would like to share the blog so you can see the letter from the president to me, if I may.
Absolutely. You can post it in the chat room.
Well, I don't have, I just have a web browser on my cell phone. I don't use email. But if you just Google the word creativity777.com, that will bring it up again, creativity37s.com. In addition to the letter from the president, there's a powerful little poem that's also in the President Ronald Reagan Library and it's discussed in the interview that can be downloaded from the blog as a weapon against terrorism. Also related to what you just played, now I'm a Vietnam era veteran. I'm disabled, it's non-service connected disability, but I also spent probably 25 plus years as a contract security officer in New York, basically. I relocated down to Virginia in 2007. And I was set up in a scheme where I was arrested from my bed. I've never been arrested for anything in my life. And it was a total setup, and I believe there was a police woman officer involved with this. I put into the arresting policewoman's hands documents that showed what I was being accused of was totally false. She refused to look at it. I made sure I got the originals back. She photocopied them. I put myself totally in the hands of God, and that's where miracles started happening. I got a court-appointed attorney who was a retired major general from the Army National Guard. When I came into his office, the first thing he said is, what the heck did they even arrest you for? I said, I think it's evil, try to throw me off my path, but it won't. On the day of the hearing, there was no hearing. The prosecutor came to my attorney, who then came to me and said, if you're willing to go along with this, you can walk right out of here now. The prosecutor will drop the arrest and all charges, but you'll have to agree that two women can have restraining orders against you for the period of a couple of years. Now, one of them was some kind of reverend, and that was documents that I had put in the policewoman's hands, and I had to make a snap decision, and my attorney said this might be your best option. I chose to go along with what he did. I was still in shock. And as the months passed, I started my own investigative work, and I used the letter from President Obama to put a note to the chief of police for the county, and I was totally surprised that he responded and said that as far as he was concerned, there was a hearing and I was found innocent. There never was a hearing, and that he wished me the very best. Well, I replied to his letter and copied the White House, and I put in statements that I had made to my attorney to show exactly what I thought the scenario was of this whole thing. Never heard a word back from anyone. This reverend, the documents that I had, she actually perjured herself. And that I can pursue because there is no statutes of limitations on perjury. I'm on Social Security disability. I have no resources. The prosecutor won't even do anything. Every time I ask something, they say get a lawyer. So this is unbelievable, and I will eventually, when I get the resources, I seek no vengeance. I forgave everybody in this whole thing, but forgiveness and justice are two different things. She broke the law.
Yeah, and Gunslinger, you have a background in law enforcement. What if Hugh's name was Allah Mahathir Mohamad. How quickly do you think the president might have responded to his letter then, Gunslinger?
About 5 minutes.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
I mean, it just goes to show, you know, Hugh, you sound like a pretty good guy. You sound like a little older, but I mean, this is it. They go just pushing around people who basically have done nothing. I mean, how is it you can arrest somebody for nothing?
That's what I'm trying to get out. And I have
a
whole...
Hugh, hang on. Let Gunslinger reply, please. Go ahead,
right.
Gunslinger.
I'll give you a better situation than that. If you remember back in 1993, Waco, Texas, okay, you see what they did to them, okay? I know. I was there, okay? I wasn't there during the actual siege, but I was there like a couple of weeks after. In fact, I even talked to the lady that survived, one of the survivors that survived that catastrophe. Now, these idiots down here, they dealt the force involved, the sniper team of the Army. They were involved in this situation. They targeted these people because of the evidence that they had and that they were fixing to go to the federal DA with it, okay? And you see the trumped-up charges that they did on those people. Oh, they were child molesters. They were horrible people. They had all weapons and all this good stuff. Well, none was ever found. Duh. Okay. And on top of that, you know that the county sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer in this country. He can go over there and arrest the president if he wants to. That's how much power the county sheriff has. But yet, the county sheriff at Waco, Texas, stood there with his finger up his ass and let 86 men, women, and children be murdered and burned to death. Wow. Welcome to America. I mean, you people think that there's not a problem in this country? When you have a rogue, out-of-control government that can do this to their own citizens, whether you agree with the Branch Davidians or not. I don't agree with their religious aspects or anything like that. That's not the point. The point is, if they can do it to them, they sure to hell can do it to you.
And that's very accurate. John, do you want to follow up on what Gunslinger just said?
Yeah, well, that's what is occurring now with the situation in Waco. I have to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and that particular group was an offshoot from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so I knew about the whole situation that had occurred. But basically what's happening now is in terms of them being able to detain people at airports that they suspect of terrorism, and they can detain you without an attorney present, and also how these terror watch lists are made up that they go by. For anyone who purchases an airline ticket, you know, they check the name against the terror watch list before anybody gets on an airplane. And, like, no one knows what the criteria is for them to actually make up these lists.
All right. That is unbelievable. Why do I keep saying unbelievable? It is so believable. I'm a... I mean, this is just time after time after time. I mean, what's it going to take before we actually open our eyes? You know, Hugh, did you want to follow up on what John said?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to do, is to stand in my truth and let people see just who I am and what I'm about and what I've been through. I also was written up in a front-page Wall Street Journal article April 27th, 1983, written by staff reporter Jonathan Quitney, K-W-I-T-N-Y, in which I exposed the former federal government bureaucrat for fraud. I believe he was a CIA operative at the time. He was engaged to the daughter of Jim Wright. Jim Wright went on to become the Speaker of the House. That article put him in the spotlight. I was interviewed by a bureau chief from another newspaper who dogged Mr. Wright until eventually he resigned the speaker position in shame. That article is so beautiful to read today because it illustrates just how special interests and lobbyists corrupt the whole atmosphere in Washington. I talked about that long before Ross Perot even started talking about it. It's only gotten worse and worse and worse, and that's why nothing gets accomplished. They bring out these humongous bills with 2,000 pages. They should be passing something every day, one or two pages in simple language, and that's what has to happen to straighten. It's so corrupt in government, in big business, and the media. They're all tied in together. They're taking away our freedoms. I'm coming out. I'm on the internet, on other shows. There's one called Sasquatch and Spirituality where I'm interacting with indigenous peoples from around the world because they know how to survive when things get rough and when the economy tanks and we go off the grid, and they're loving people despite everything that they've been persecuted with. So I also was falsely accused years ago in a supposed assassination plot against President Ronald Reagan. And I had the Secret Service visit and interview me, and it was over some kind of a business deal that went awry, and somebody over in Nigeria sent an unsigned letter to the embassy in London, England, stating that I and this other character, who evidently must have taken some front money from the guy, had accepted £500,000 British sterling from a Libyan strongman to assassinate President Reagan. That's all in the archives. That's why I'm calling your show, to get somebody to look at who I am and pull the archives up and put this stuff out there. I'm standing in my truth. And again, my strategies will work, and it will root out the corruption in both government and business, because it's all transparency. The president talked about it, but he sure didn't give it. And also,
course,
he's been.
Here, so,
I'm sorry?
Something familiar. Listen to this, my friend Hugh. Listen to this piece I have. Here is a perfect example of not only what you said, but of something John was following up on. Listen to this. This is Judge Andrew Napolitano.
Well, right now the government is hunting this man, Anwar al-Awlaki. He's on the U.S. hit list. The radical Muslim cleric is linked to the Fort Hood shooting, the attempted Christmas Day bombing, and the failed attack in Times Square. Here's the catch. He's an American citizen, and some say hunting him down, freezing his assets, violates his constitutional rights, and we shouldn't do that. Let's bring in Judge Andrew Napolitano. He's our senior judicial analyst. So, Judge, I mean, what's your take on this story?
Well, there's a lot of problems, a lot of legal problems in this case because of the laws that have been written to help the government fight what it calls the war on terrorism. First, because the government has declared him a terrorist, it is unlawful for lawyers to represent him without themselves being charged with providing material assistance to terrorists. So the lawyers who want to represent him have asked the Treasury Department for a license, for a waiver from the anti-terrorism law, which would permit them to represent him.
Should they get it?
Yes, they should get it. There are some reports that they have. It's not yet been confirmed. So before they can even file the lawsuit in his behalf, they have to get permission from the government.
Doesn't that feel awkward that this guy that's known to have links to some of these attempted attacks and attacks would get representation under our law and be protected?
Well, he's innocent until proven guilty. There aren't even any charges filed against him other than what the president's people have publicly said about him. He's entitled to the same rights as everybody else is. Whether he was born in New Mexico or Yemen, it doesn't matter. He has the same rights.
Now, he's been living in Yemen since 2004. Does that change things?
No, it doesn't change anything. But here's the interesting part, as I see it. The president, not out of his own mouth, but out of the words of his former director of national intelligence, Admiral Dennis Blair, claims the right to kill this guy in the streets in another country.
But some people would say, good, let's bring him down.
The Constitution says, bad. He has the same rights as everybody else. The president is subject to the same laws as everybody else.
But then
the
how
president
do you,
can't commit
how do you
murder.
Get somebody like that? I mean, how do you – either
follow,
we're seen as a terrorist.
You follow the law. If this guy from Yemen has violated a law, and the law he allegedly violated is speaking, so speech is protected, so
sure.
That's an issue.
Right.
They have to ask Yemen to extradite him here. If Yemen won't do that, then they're stuck. Then there's nothing they can do unless they want to invade Yemen in order to get this
but
guy.
But is our own law preventing us from getting this guy essentially off the streets and inspiring other potential terrorists?
You know, the Constitution, Justice Scalia has written, sometimes protects the criminality of a few in order to preserve the freedom of us all. This guy born in New Mexico is preaching hatred in Yemen. He has the right to preach what he wants. If we think his words violate an American law, we have to follow our own laws in order to bring him here. His father has hired lawyers to sue the president, asking a judge to stop the president from trying to kill him.
What
that has never happened
there?
In American history.
Do you think it actually goes through? Are we going to see a case like that?
I think we will see a case like that. I think a court will decide the president doesn't have the authority to kill somebody because of their words that they utter in another country. But the thought of a judge enjoining the president will be fascinating.
Well, when you put it like that, Judge, are you going to tackle this story on your show?
I'm going to tackle it. No, not this show. This show.
All righty. Well, imagine that. All they have to do, John, just as what you said, is declare you an enemy combatant or just an enemy. And bang, all your rights are taken. I think even against U.S. citizens, like it or not like it, regardless of what the government says, I actually never believe the government under any circumstances whatsoever when you're pathologically lying. Why believe anything? But the bottom line is, here it is. Here's a perfect example where they could today declare me an enemy combatant or a terrorist, and I lose my rights. Why don't we start off with Gunslinger? We'll let you go first, then we'll go to Hugh and then John.
Well, that's kind of like saying, welcome to America. I mean, is that the way it's supposed to be? I don't think so. I think that the founding fathers are actually turning over in their graves, seeing what's going on today. And he's absolutely correct. I mean, when you are charged with a crime that you have not even committed yet, I mean, how ludicrous is that? I mean, just because I say something, as long as I don't go out and do the act, is that not called free speech? Don't we have a right in this country for free speech? I can say anything, any damn thing I want to. As long as I don't go out and do it, then that's where you cross the line at, depending on what it is, of course. But if I just say it, if we're just in an idle conversation and say, well, yeah, I think that's a bitch, I ought to be blown away. Well, as long as I don't go out there and do the act, who has it hurt? That's your thought crimes. They're trying to, I don't know what they're trying to do. They're absolutely off the wall and out to lunch. Ludicrous is what they are. But that's part of the New World Order. That's what they want. You know, and Bush was a New World Order person. You know, his daddy Bush. You know, he's had speeches, or I remember one of them saying, well, I can't wait till I see a New World Order emerging. Boy, how much more proof do you want on that one? George Bush even said that, well, this Constitution, that's just a goddamn piece of paper. Now, this is a president saying that the Constitution that founded this country is just a goddamn piece of paper. And now you wonder how they can get away with all this skullduggery? Gee whiz. Wake up, people. I mean, until you start saying no, what part of no don't you understand? I mean, I've got a little 8-year-old toy Dachshund, little weenie dog. She knows what the word no means, and she's an animal, for God's sakes. And these people in Washington, D.C. are supposed to be, all these real smart characters, you know, taking underhanded money and corruption and all this prostitution, you know, out the wall and all this and that. But yet they don't understand what the word no means? Boy.
Hugh? How about you, Hugh?
Go ahead.
I just want to interject something related to my arrest, just to keep things in perspective, too. I have respect for law enforcement. Most of them are good, but there is a percentage in anything that is bad. And my life was saved by the police when I became disabled. I was in a security patrol car. I couldn't breathe, and they got me to the hospital. I lost consciousness. I was in ICU and what have you. So this whole thing related to my arrest happened months before the president's friend, Professor Gates, was arrested, if you'll recall that, the Harvard professor. And I tried to interact and be a part of Beergate to hopefully resolve some tensions racially and also with the police. In other words, I think he was out of line, this professor. He probably argued with the police officer. which I, it appeared he did, and the president was taking his side right from the beginning. And my statement would have been that when the police come knocking, you don't argue, you just go along peacefully. Otherwise, you're going to be subject to additional charges and maybe be tasered or who knows what. So that's not the time to argue when you're being arrested. Take it up in court after the fact. I'm 66 years old. I was in Cuba. We used to vacation there when Castro overthrew Batista. I was there during the revolution. We had to get out on an emergency flight. How many young people would know today that Castro went to Catholic schools and we backed him and then he turned on us? And how many more people has Castro killed than this Gaddafi over in Libya? Who's wackier? And whatever. I mean, where do you draw the lines? This CIA, these secret things that are going on are causing so much turmoil. I salute the greatest generation in World War II. That's the only way to go to war. If somebody does something, let's mean it when we come back at them and do whatever we have to do to obliterate them and stop it there. This limited warfare, it's just making these elites, that's what they're doing it for. They're making the money off the munitions. There's raping and taking the resources and whatever, and they're just making everybody in this country broke. And we have no interest in these wars. We know how to root out the terrorism. You put a bounty on these guys' heads, their own people will cut it off and hand it to you on a silver platter. And when we start sending these drones over taking out innocent people, someday that technology may come back on us. And I don't want to see those days. So why can't we all just begin to realize we're all connected, start looking into your hearts, and asking for divine guidance for your mission in this world, and just go back, put the light on where the corruption is, and root it out, because the Tea Party's not doing it. They're just trading faces, but you have to get the corruption out.
Yeah, that's very true. All we're doing is changing the logo at the end of their name. And as I hand it over to John for his comment, Hugh, my only response regarding President Obama, he sided with that professor strictly because they were the same color. And once the evidence came out of what was going on and what exactly happened, I think he ate crow. And that obviously shows the inexperience of this idiot that Barack Obama is in place there because somebody put him in there, the same people who put George Bush in there. But, John, sticking with our topic, and I apologize for going off there, do you want to follow up on the, what anyone said or the peace be placed?
I just wanted to confirm what the previous caller said. The military is being used as a police force in which they're going into countries and they're taking the resources out of these Middle Eastern countries, and they're not really fighting wars. They're just there to maintain the peace and to keep, like, certain factions at bay. But Perry Steele did a show about these different sites like Facebook and like some of these other sites that are currently on the Internet and how these sites are really controlled by the NSA. And the founder of Facebook, he was able to transition into a major business because he got members of the CIA and NSA on his board of directors. And they showed him how to make his site, so that everyone could have access to it. And they use the information that they get off of these sites, like a Facebook and also like a Twitter, and they compile data on people. So people are putting their entire educational history, their work history, and everything else on these sites, and the government is taking this information and they're compiling data on people so that they can monitor all activity. And I don't know if people remember, but in the Patriot Act, there was a stipulation that the government could monitor all text messages and all cell phone activity. And so Facebook and like any other site like a Twitter is all a part of this attempt by the government to monitor all activity on the Internet, all activity on cell phones, so that they can pinpoint a terrorist, so they're able to pinpoint terrorist suspects right away. That's that's how the government has been able to foil all these terror plots since 9/11, because they have extreme amounts of surveillance, and that's how they're able to catch these people before anything happens.
Okay, area code 716. Hello, you are on the air with John, Hugh, and Gunslinger.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is William up in Buffalo. Called in a couple of days ago.
Well, glad you called back there. Still a Buffalo fan, huh, my friend?
Oh, man.
Well, welcome.
I'm not expecting nothing to happen
good.
You want
to weigh in on our conversation?
Yeah, you know, I just want to say, right, and not to be critical, but this is a big turnaround in America, because this just started too long ago. I would say 10 years ago, that the notion that we are in a police state, if you said that to somebody, to the right people, they'll call you a nut. They're swearing down that you're crazy. Right? One of the callers was talking about the Tea Party, right? And one thing that always baffled me, and me and CJ had a couple of rounds with this, about the Tea Party, was that the Tea Party, and you got to understand what I'm hearing when I hear the Tea Party, right? What I hear is they're mad about health care. Now, nobody was mad about, and see, I'm a nationalist. Right, I'm an admitted nationalist, and what made me angry was when George Bush signed the Patriot Act, because I already knew what that meant. I already knew that made me a suspect. I love my country, right? Being a black American, there are a lot of issues that I have with my country, but don't tell me I don't love my country. My father was a Vietnam veteran, right? And there's many things I feel about that, right? But don't tell me I don't love my country, right? But so the minute this Patriot Act came about and was signed, I was in complete awe and just, oh, man, I couldn't believe this was happening, right? And I spoke about against the Patriot Act to many people all over the internet, and I was always greeted with, you know, oh, you know, like I'm the one that's being un-American, right? And this is the reason why I never could trust the Tea Party, because what they're mad about is health care. And I know everybody thinks health care is socialism, but so is farm subsidies. And we have a lot of socialism in our nation. But the biggest threat that I saw that's going down in all of terror, war on terror, was the fact that you have documents and laws now that directly circumvent our Constitution. And I keep trying to tell people, what makes you American is not so much that you were born in America. What makes this country unique is not so much as because we have all this wealth, or we have millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires and great corporations and all that. What makes America unique was the Constitution of these United States of America. Without the Constitution, we might as well be Mexico, England, we can be Zimbabwe, we can be any other nation. What sets us apart is the Constitution. You have to believe in the Constitution. It was George Bush that came out and said Constitution was just a piece of paper. No, if you see it as just a piece of paper, then you're a fool. And I really wish people would take the time to read the Constitution. Right, especially a lot of Tea Party people, right? I'm like, you hold up the document, you swear you're fighting, but your argument is against health care, right? You know, no. You know, health care can be resolved 101 million ways. We can actually have universal health care. That's one thing. That's not stopping us from being American. But when you no longer have the Constitution, your country ceased to exist. That's what being American is about. You know, our forefathers never stated that we should have a pure capitalist government or a socialist government or a communist government. They put the Constitution together, and then what the Constitution, a lot of people get this wrong, and I'm going to get off right quick. A lot of people get this wrong. They think the Constitution is a document that regulates us. No, the Constitution is a document that regulates our government. You know, say what you want about gays getting married. Say what you want about that. You can't put amendments in the Constitution that specifically stops another group from gaining rights. You know, constitutionally speaking, you have to look at the Constitution for what it is. It is to regulate our government. That's what the Constitution is. And people need to sit down, take time out. This is not a long document. It's not going to take you days, weeks. It's not a novel. Read the Constitution. Understand the Constitution. And when you're done with that, then go look at the U.S. Code. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen to that. I couldn't agree with you any differently. here, let's jump. Stay on the line with us, William. Hugh,
all right.
As we wind down the show, do you have a closing statement you'd like to make?
I agree completely with what he said about the Constitution, but related to health care, and I have to come back, and I said to the president that I didn't vote for him, but I wished him the very best. But you have to look at these individuals and things that get covered up so quickly when they hit a certain power level. I mean, even when he was campaigning, there was mafiosa stuff related to something of a residence he had in Chicago. All that went away. He said that he was going to have transparency. The thing that got my guile is that he pushed this health care through in some kind of manipulative way. That's what the people are most upset about. If he talked from his heart and comes to the people instead of talking from his head and telling us what he's going to do. He's not the Papa Doc. I don't want a Papa Doc in this country. I want a president like JFK, someone who spoke from his heart and can move the people, because the people are the people. We have the answers. We are the country. We're not going to be overtaken by these small elite groups. We're starting to fight back now.
Well, thank you, and I agree. Hugh, feel free to tune in tomorrow. You know, we have a guy for the fair tax, and feel free to join the show as William has as one of our callers. Gunslinger, my friend and first caller, do you have a closing statement to make?
Yeah, all you have to do is go out there and look at the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. And that's exactly what's going on in this country right now. Read every 10 planks and you'll see exactly. They parallel exactly what's going on in this country. So that's what they want. That's why they want to bring this country down to its knees. And actually, they're doing a pretty good job of it. They're pretty smart people. They're doing a fine job of it. Look around.
So, hopefully we will not give in. John, closing statement?
Yeah, I think, you know, there always was a socialist fringe within the Democratic Party. And I think at this point in time, that socialist element of the Democratic Party is trying to push America into a social democracy. And I think that the average person has to be able to look beyond television news and do their own research to find out, you know, how this country is being moved in that direction.
Yep, very, very true. William, my friend, next time, don't wait so late. Give us a call early.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Hey, feel free. You know, you're part of the
family.
All right,
now, I want to close with, and this is everybody that's listening, there's no matter what government or whatever, what president there is, there's always going to be people that don't like what's going on, right? But I implore everybody, treat the Constitution like it's the highest law of the land, right? Everything that we go through, everything that everybody's complaining about is, you know, is really second to what's going on with the Constitution. We have to. Never mind repealing health care. The subject should be repeal the Patriot Act. That has to go. Everywhere you go, you are now a criminal. You're a suspected criminal. That's against your constitutional rights. You can be, in these days, in our day and age, we can be searched without warrant. They can come into our homes without notification, right? That's un-American. And you can go back to Thomas Jefferson and anybody else, and they will tell you that's un-American.
That certainly is. Everybody, please join me tomorrow at 8 o'clock. It's going to be an even better show. I have a guest the executive director for a fair tax, not only in my state of Michigan, but it's spreading U.S.-wide. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, William. Thank you, Hugh. Thank you, Gunslinger. And John, always a pleasure. John, I think I know where you're going to end up scooting over from here. But anyway, everyone, have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow night. Same time, same station.
Who let the dogs out?
Never be a king of slaves. Let the dark time.